It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heads up, if you are planning on traveling by air anywhere today or tomorrow or maybe theoretically by the end of the week, then you may have some trouble. Logan is reporting massive delays and cancellations this morning because of Hurricane Milton, which will make landfall on the Tampa Bay coast. This evening, I guess, is when it is expected, and it looks like it is going to be a doozy. So just check. They're advising you to check with your airline. I'm sure you'll get an immediate friendly response from a human being when you check with your airline. But do that if you're supposed to fly anywhere today.
I'm not a bright man. Why would the obviously flights to Florida, but like. Why would that impact any other travel?
Because they have to move all the planes. Like, they try to move all the Florida planes out and move them to other airports. There are airlines who have a hub in Florida. It just screws the whole entire thing up, Curtis. Oh. I agree with all you. Right. It's ridiculous. But
and a lot of routes will take you over Florida or near that area, so they're going to have to reroute a bunch of flights.
Yeah.
Yesterday, though, was maybe the first time that I was enjoying my afternoon and scrolling and realized, ooh, Greg and Curtis may be onto something. I was doom scrolling. Like, 100%, I started following people that said, like, I'm hunkering down for the hurricane and gonna ride this one out.
I can't believe people are doing that.
Yeah.
My mom's doing it.
There's a person we're going to hear from in the news who lives on a boat, who is staying on the boat.
Boathouse.
During a Cat 5 hurricane.
That seems like a mistake.
They are suggesting that we actually add a category. Cat 6 should be added because it's going to be so bad. Where's your mom?
In Clearwater, Florida, which is in the Tampa Bay area.
Oh.
And she's staying?
Yeah.
At her house?
Yeah. Well, no, she went over to her aunt's house, so it's like her aunt, her cousin, and then I think one of the other cousins is there as well. So it's like four of them. They got like 10 bottles of wine and a bunch of loaves of bread, and they're like, yeah, we're ready to go.
Amen.
Are they close to the water, though, Shyam?
So they're like 25-ish, 30 minutes inland.
Oh, okay.
I think actually technically they're in Dunedin, not in Clearwater. Okay. So,
there is a woman I'm following on TikTok right now just because of this who says, you know, my husband built this house commercially, so it's like a concrete brick, and it's four stories, and we'll be fine. She's on a peninsula.
All right.
And she and her family are staying throughout this.
Did she say why?
She said because she feels safe in this house. It's not so much the flooding. If you've got four stories, it's the wind. And if the wind is going to smash all your windows.
Well, did you see any of the modeling that the meteorologists were doing, Curtis, yesterday, where they were standing on a platform and showing what the swells were going to look like? And they did the 3-foot swell, and then they did the 6-foot swell, and then they did the 15-foot swell, which are all, they're all expected. And they were showing the water level behind them rising. And they're like standing in a neighborhood. It's all CGI or whatever. And they're showing you as that water gets higher and higher, how you basically, there's objects in the water that are like turning into projectiles and
debris.
I mean,
there's got to be gators all over the place.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's an irrational.
I mean,
fear.
I wouldn't really trip about the glass because don't they have those things that come down?
But not everybody has them. Like that's a big issue for a lot of people in high rises who and you can't find anything to board up your windows right now. But it's
but
a lot of people.
If you're 20 stories up,
Windows are still an issue when it comes to wind. Like that's the wind could knock out some of these people's windows.
Oh, so they don't have, like, my buddy's mother-in-law lives down there, and they have these hurricane shutter things that come down.
Not everybody.
They are saying that it could be worse. The worst hurricane, I think Curtis would know better than I, but...
Andrew.
Galveston.
Galveston.
All right.
Which was responsible, believe it or not. This is in the 60s, so I guess you can make an allowance when it comes to people being informed and things, but... it was responsible for 8,000 deaths.
Jesus.
And the damage estimate this morning for Milton and that area is $175 billion.
Wow. Oh my God.
Is what they are estimating when it comes to damage. So
these people's whole lives that could just be washed away, and people that don't have means to be able to
get out
to get gas, to they're scared they're going to get stuck on the highway.
Yeah.
And also Greg brought up the debris because of Helene that they just went through. A lot of people have couches and bed frames on their front lawn and they haven't had enough manpower to be able to remove it all.
Yeah, no, it seems like it's going to be a doozy. So, and that is going to make landfall this evening. So, thoughts and prayers.
Yes.
Shime, stay in touch with your mom. Stay off.
I plan on it.
Stay off the console and stay in touch with your mom this evening.
Oh, I got it. Don't worry. I'm on it.
And, like, messaging her while gaming does not count.
Nope. Okay. Me and my brother have been in constant communication with her.
Good.
Right. We are going to get to They Said It at 7. And then Courtney has today's news coming up at 7:45, but right now this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Oh, it's May Day. Shime, good morning. Well done. And
thank
good
you.
Morning. And I assume that your lead is about that very topic.
Nope, I'm going to talk about potatoes. Yeah, of course I'm going to talk about Drake May. Like, this is everything. This is officially the turning point, right? This is the moment you'll be able to look back on. And does it seem a little knee-jerk reaction by the organization? Absolutely. Should they have probably done this last week when he would have been able to go up against Miami first? Absolutely. But regardless of that fact, they clearly, their plan all along had nothing to do with Drake May. It was entirely about... The offensive coordinator liked Jacoby Brissett, was comfortable with Jacoby Brissett, and was like, all right, we're going to drive him until we literally cannot drive this car any longer. And after the Miami game, that's when they realized, wow, Jacoby Brissett's that bad. He is the only other quarterback in all of football that's playing as poorly as Jacoby Brissett is Deshaun Watson.
Do you think they being Elliott Wolf, Gerard Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, etc., thought Jacoby Brissett was going to be better?
Yes, that's exactly what they thought.
You do?
Yeah, okay. 100%.
Well, that's not a good sign for scouts.
No, it's not great. But my hope here is, look, Drake May is not going to come out and light it up for 300 and 3 touchdowns on Sunday. I just don't think that's going to happen. That's unrealistic to ask of a rookie quarterback making his first career
managing
start.
Expectations.
No. But I'm telling you, you're going to see signs of what makes him great. You're going to see glimpses of it, and it's just going to get better and more consistent and more frequent with each week. And I am so unbelievably excited to see him finally hit the field. They've already listed his touchdown prop for Sunday.
Oh,
Mary Poppins is in the building. It's over a half a touchdown. Courtney, lock it in is my mortal lock of the century. I'm going with that.
Right.
Give me Drake May over a half a touchdown because I need it. Inject it directly into my veins.
Who's on the receiving end? Is it Prop Douglas?
Well done by you. Okay. All right, Greg, off and running today.
Okay. Jalen Prop?
Not as good.
Not as good.
Not anywhere near as good.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't even
prop.
You don't have to try to outdo me.
Oh, I was just trying to jump on the train.
Prop Douglas.
Can I jump on the train?
You're very funny in your own right, but you don't have to jump on the train. You don't have to try to do better unless...
Well, I mean, it's not trying to do better, Greg. Okay. I think you're a little insecure there.
We all know Wiggy gets parlayed every weekend.
I mean, see, it's just jumping on the train.
Sometimes this is like a movie. You just sit back and enjoy your popcorn. All right.
Keep it up, Prop Daddy.
Okay, so... It looks like we should go the over. You think he's going to at least have a touchdown. And this team, I mean, all you needed against the Dolphins was 17 points. So you should be able to muster that up.
And like everybody's throwing out this whole like Houston dominated Josh Allen. Yeah, but they also got absolutely destroyed by Sam Darnold. So like who looked totally mortal, by the way, in London against the Jets. So like let's take a step back. Is DeMeco Ryan's a good play caller or defensive coordinator? Yeah. But I think Drake May is a good quarterback. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Okay. All right, Shine, thank you. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. Yesterday was the latest and greatest example of the Boston sports media scene thinking way too highly about themselves. Flipping out, does this have to do with the Peppers arrest? And look at this over here. There never was a play. How dare they inform players through the media when Gerard Mayo has said multiple times on the morning show on Mondays that he talks through the media? Who gives a damn when you hear news? If it's good news, you're happy. If it's bad news, you're mad. It's not how they broke up with you. It's that they did. Deal with it. And I'm watching this yesterday and watching everybody breathlessly react to the timing and the manner in which the Patriots did something all those very same people were clamoring for them to do in the first place. I am so excited for the Drake May era. I don't know how he's going to do. None of us really have any clue. But if he's a great player, the timing and the opponent he begins his career against has nothing to do with it. It is an opportunity for this organization to try and change it up. And you know the reason? It's the same connection to the Jets, Woody Johnson, Aaron Rodgers, and Robert Saleh. These owners are all horned up about looking good overseas. It's bizarre. But Robert Kraft reportedly said, I'm done with him, regarding Bill Belichick when they lost in Germany last year to the Colts. The Jets move on from Saleh after Aaron Rodgers' bitching continued following the loss in London. And now the Patriots get one rehearsal for their starting quarterback of the future before playing the Jaguars a week from Sunday in England with Drake May. It's bizarre, it's weird, but it's part of their whole thought process in this. So
yeah.
I'm excited. I don't really care how or when they did it. We got a game to watch with a quarterback that can throw the ball down the field. Mm-hmm.
And, Curtis, you believe there was no plan.
There's never been a plan.
There was never a plan.
Of course not. If somebody has a plan, they'll tell it to you.
Well, you said what the plan was at the beginning when you said you believe their plan was that Jacoby Brissett was going to be better than he was, which would have given Drake May a little bit more time to kind of sit on the bench and whatever they call it, developing. But that didn't work out. That was their plan.
Yeah. Well, I also thought, I think Mayo thought they were somehow going to be able to tell everybody that we're going to be a run-heavy team and we're just going to run the football at you, and that was going to be successful week after week after week when everybody knew that you were just running the football, and that didn't work either. So, all right. Curtis, great lead.
Great job, Greg.
We will get to Courtney's lead and to Wiggy's lead and to my lead coming up next.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Keith, you ready?
I am ready!
Get ready! Yeah!
It's Drake May time!
season, Woo! Jones. We have a football season. Let's go.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm lightheaded.
There's a ton of this confetti in here.
I'm covered in confetti.
On the Twitch chat. We are very excited. This is the season begins.
One went in my coffee.
That's all right. Probably protein. This is a 12-week NFL season this year, It starts on Sunday. Finally, the ABB movement has taken off.
It has landed.
Anybody but Brissett. We got the news yesterday that Drake May finally, is going to be the starting quarterback. What a thrill. I had my doubts. Monday, you and I said, they're making this change. Then yesterday, at least during our show, crickets. Quiet, maybe too quiet.
Yeah, I went down to 51-49.
I got nervous. I was like, it's going to be Brissett.
Dangerously close.
Because I'm afraid to have nice things, maybe. Yeah. And I was like, I'm afraid to get my hopes up.
We don't like to get hurt.
No. I've been hurt too many times before, Jones.
That's true.
And so I was definitely terrified that it was going to be Brissett again. And then you get the announcement yesterday during WEEI Afternoons that, look out, it is going to be Drake May. What a thrill. What a time to be alive. Holy smokes.
I'm still a little lightheaded from that intro, I got to be honest.
Whew.
It was
good intro by Nick, too, by the way.
Tremendous montage to take you back through it. All the lying over the last 5 weeks about when they were going to go to Drake May.
Wow.
Wasn't really going to be in play and all these things. So great work by Nick. That's a reason to tune in, I'd say, every day on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
You never know what's going to happen.
I don't know. You needed the full visual, I think.
I'll be honest.
For that intro.
The little kazoos or whatever?
Yeah, try one out again.
Leave a little something to be desired. I think I chucked mine in the...
celebration. Oh, here it is.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
I went in. I stopped by Party City. Sounds like a wounded animal. Yeah. I stopped by Party City on the way in. And They do great work over there on
They
Soldier
want to
Field
sponsor
Road.
Like a Drake May segment every week.
Yeah, look, Party City, sponsorship opportunities, buying opportunities available here on Jones and Keith. I walk in. I go, do you guys have like any noisemakers?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And they go, sir, it's not New Year's.
What? I go, like, I go, you can only do noisemakers once a year?
I go, it kind of is. It's Drake May Day.
Have you heard about Drake May?
Yeah, I go, like, you guys should have been prepared for this, quite frankly. He goes, it's not New Year's, but you can check aisle 5 or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay.
Nothing
I found
there.
These crappy kazoos.
Yeah, he's like that. Oh, that's good. You can do a little song.
Yeah.
That's not bad. But we are here. Holy mackerel.
What a day.
What a journey.
Let me tell you.
Just like the Swayman contract. What a journey. The ups and downs.
Okay. So
constant asks about Drake May. People telling us we're dumb. People telling us that you couldn't give me all the money in the world to play Drake May. Oh, we have a plan. All right, Drake May. We've seen enough. We've seen enough of Brissett. It's time to move on.
Okay. So we have a lot to get to on the show today.
Yeah, sure do.
Not a great day to be, number one, Jeremy Swayman, I guess, depending on your view. Good that Corpusalo got bombed last night.
How about your guy, Corpusalo?
No
welcome to the Bruins.
No comment from Team Corpy today.
Okay.
But when it comes to a few of the contracts around the NHL, we'll get to Jeremy Swayman today. We're, of course, going to get to, a bunch of things. Gerard Mayo is going to speak live today.
Shortly
after 11 o'clock, so we'll hear from the...
You have to change tune even further.
Yeah, we'll have to hear from the head coach of the Patriots, like, who made this call? Not you.
What happened to the squad meeting?
Yeah, what happened to the squad meeting? What happened to a plan for Drake May?
Yeah.
What happened to a lot of stuff? So you're going to hear that live today on Jones and Kiefel. Of course, take your phone calls all day long. Fraudulent fan base out there, by the way. Did you see the poll from the Greg Hill show today?
No, what's the poll? I missed the poll. What'd the poll say?
Okay, well, a week ago they said, should they go to Drake May? 50-50 said yes. Or 50 said yes, 50% said no.
It was
50-50 split.
Too close to call.
Yeah.
They were still waiting on certain precincts.
They asked another question today. Do you agree with the Patriots' decision to start Drake May? 35% said no. So
oh
it's like, you
God.
Fraud.
Come on.
Whatever
Be
the
consistent.
Team's doing, you're on board. Exactly.
Be consistent
exactly.
with it.
More of you should hate this decision.
Yeah,
I
right.
love it. But there's a lot of you out there that don't, so we'll hear from you all day long. 617-779-7937. You can text the show 37937. We should definitely call a cleaning company to get in here and clean up all this confetti. You can
watch. We can leave it for the next show.
Yeah. Arcan and Hark can deal with that. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. YouTube. Subscribe to YouTube there. You can also follow along Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. We obviously both think this is the right call, Keith. Why do you think they're making the decision now? And how do you feel about the timing with Houston specifically? That's not something we've gotten into a ton these last couple of days.
So, that's a good question about the Houston thing, because a lot of people are getting in on that, and I think we have, the next couple of days to really break that. They're one of the best teams in football, and they have a great defense. They made a rookie quarterback look pretty bad in Caleb Williams a couple of weeks ago. So, there's definitely that part of it. I think
at the beginning of all this, it certainly wasn't unanimous to go with Jacoby Brissett. We had talked about this leading right up into the start of the season when we were still both hoping that it was going to be Drake May. They go with Brissett. Felt like it was very much an Alex Van Pell, Elliott Wolf decision. I think at that point, the Crafts were saying, hey, we just hired these guys. We can't make the first major decision for them, right? Otherwise, why'd we even hire them? So if that's who they want, let's go with it. Mayo, I know he kind of walked it back, but he said Van Pelt's the head coach of the offense. So the head coach of the offense probably is going to be able to have a big say in the quarterback. And so I think they played it out. Week one, they win. But even then, Mayo, you could tell he wasn't super pumped about it. Because he's like, this isn't sustainable. We need to throw the ball more. That's a problem. But Jacoby's our guy, blah, 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 blah. So then you lose week two, and it's close. And so it's like, there's not a huge cry for the quarterback, even though we were both on it, how he took a sack, got him out of field goal range. Maybe the game, maybe the outcome's different.
Yeah, I mean, you say we were both on it. That was mostly you. I mean, you were leading the charge.
It was a good idea.
That.
I'll lump you in on that.
But like between that play and the Brissett play last week, where he's throwing over the middle of the field, that's you're not getting anything out of a guy who is supposed to make veteran decisions. He's doing the opposite.
Then the next 3 weeks, it really goes south on you. You have two lopsided losses, and then I would say the San Francisco game and the Miami game. Jacoby Brissett played bad. It wasn't good enough or it wasn't okay. He played bad and was one of the reasons that they lost. Now, San Francisco, everything kind of went wrong. But against Miami, it was just such a slog of a game. So if you got better quarterback play, you probably win. And so at this point, I think Mayo says, listen, we did your plan. This was your plan. But we owe it to the rest of the team. Hell, we owe it to me to make this swap. Brissett's not living up to his end of the bargain. We got to play Drake May. We got to do it. Plus, he's been practicing, and they can kind of hide him, right? So we don't know how good he's been at practice. But Hunter Henry told us he's a great player. A lot of other guys that have been there at practice have kind of talked him up a little bit. So I think he said it's enough is enough. I know you're probably going to go a little bit higher with the Crafts, which I also wouldn't rule out, by the way.
That is what I think.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, A, look who the news leaked out to, Schefter and Rapsheet. That reeks of ownership. And B, you just said it. Mayo has wanted, we both think, Drake May from the start. He said he outplayed Jacoby Brissett. So if Mayo's wanted him for 5 weeks, but he couldn't get it done, how come he can get it done now? Like, I just think somebody else interjected. And let me tell you something.
Well, 1-4, right? Like, I think.
That's true.
You know, and Brissett's been so bad. Like, I think Brissett, hey, he's not turnover. All right, pick six. And then, you know, you lose the ugliest football game of all time. It's a lot different than, hey, he's doing what we wanted. Defense let you down. Bad special teams or whatever. Like, last week, Mayo was. The defense and special teams was good enough to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was, that to me reeked of, like, that's how he feels. And I just think he has more evidence. Like, he can go back to Van Pelt and Wolf and be like, guys,
fine.
We can't do this.
That's fine. Yeah. I do think it goes higher than just Jerod Mayo. You guys can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. Number one, there were empty seats and boos at Gillette Stadium.
Huge factor.
Number two, I had not thought of this, and I've heard others say it, and it's a great point. Jacksonville in London in 2 weeks. Remember how embarrassed the Crafts were by the Germany game last year.
Cares way more about the international game than he probably should. But
so,
yes.
I guess you could make a case that that'd be a reason to wait and start Drake May in that game, but start him the game before, get his feet under him so it's not a clown show against a very beatable Jacksonville Jaguars team on a national stage that whether or not you care about it as a fan, I don't give two craps about it. Robert Kraft cares about it. It is a standalone island showcase game for his franchise internationally in front of the world. And he doesn't want Jacoby Brissett out there like that. He and Jonathan. That's why I think it goes higher than just Jerod Mayo.
And you might be right. And I think it could be one of those things. I think we asked Kern about it, maybe a few other Patriot reporters about it, where Kraft might not say, guys, you're making this move. But he could pop into the old coach's office and be like, so what are we feeling about Drake May?
Yep.
You know, like classic, it's your idea, but you can kind of know how I feel about it. And I think that sort of helps speed up the process a little bit. If this game on Sunday was in Houston, do you think Drake May starts?
No.
Yeah, I think the back-to-back home games, and then it's the London game, and then they're back home again. So I feel like that's a big...
Against a team May's already faced in the New York Jets.
And a team that stinks a lot worse than I certainly thought, maybe others going into the season thought. So, you know, this Houston team is a really tough team, but Jacksonville stinks. The Jets kind of stink. I'm not upset at all, or I can't question that they finally went to him. However, how do you not go to him last week?
Okay, so I think that's like, a totally fair... Why now is a totally fair second guess. What took so long? I thought you had a plan that you were sticking to, and you're already blowing it up. I'm happy he's playing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to freak out too much because I did get what I wanted, but like this...
Don't tell me this was the plan.
No, you should have started him
Week one. But okay, that got thrown out the window. Then you should have started them against San Francisco because they were down. Right. And you had a long week to prepare because you had the Thursday game against the Jets. And if you didn't do that, you should start them against Miami because that team stinks right now.
Okay, so this is how I feel too. So it's like, I'm not going to cry about it.
No.
I'm happy he's in, obviously. Confetti's everywhere in this studio. Like, we're happy he's in.
Yes.
But don't lie to me and tell me this was your plan, that it was week six all along and this was the plan. Obviously, there are outside factors. The other rookies playing well. How bad the team is struggling. Empty seats, booing at the stadium, like a business aspect, and the international game looming. Here's the thing, though. If you have outside factors and not just your plan, you run into playing Drake May against Houston, which I'm sure you've seen a lot of these tweets out there. They're number one, or at least high on the list, depending on what metric you look at, for pressure rates. And the Patriots obviously allow an exceptionally high pressure rate.
Yeah.
You ready for the quarterback numbers against Houston this year?
Let's hear it. I know one of them, but go ahead. Give me
Mark Daniels tweeted this out. All Anthony Richardson, 9 for 19, 212, two touchdowns and a pick.
Suggests, though, he blows.
Yeah, not great.
Anthony Richardson's not good, at least not yet.
Caleb Williams, 23-37, 174, two picks.
Seven sacks.
Seven sacks in that game?
He got sacked seven times.
Didn't even
know
that.
Now, that was also his second start, and he's gotten better. So that game didn't break him. He actually just had his best game last week. But yes, they stuffed Caleb Williams.
Trevor Lawrence, 18 for 33, 169. He did throw two touchdowns. Sam Darnold kind of lit it up. 17 of 28, 184, four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns?
Yeah. And then Josh Allen, 9 for 30, 131. And a touchdown.
They got Josh Allen. So the Vikings is obviously their one loss. So Sam Darnold lit him up. That was the one team that beat him. But Trevor Lawrence isn't off to a great start. The fact that he threw a couple of touchdowns actually gives me a little bit of
hope. So you're actually more encouraged by those numbers.
A little bit more, actually, than those numbers. Now, and they're getting after him. And I know the pressure rates for the Patriots. One thing they keep showing is how many pressures and the pass block win rate. Not the... bog all this down with stats.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that they keep showing, and the Patriots are awful at it. Didn't last week feel a little bit better? And it also felt like they got maybe the right personnel, and those guys actually stayed healthy.
Yes.
Like, I'm not saying you got to throw those stats out. You can't. This is what we have through five games. But they've had four different starting left tackles. They've had a variety. They've had a bunch of different center or two different centers. They've had a bunch of different guards. They've moved guys all around. So if it's the same five from last week, I feel like they're not good, but they're better than what the stats would tell you.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'd also add this. You know who also gets pressured all the time? Jaden Daniels. And you know what he does?
He gets
pressured, and he leaves the pocket and goes out and makes a play.
Oh, he's so good.
Throwing on the run or just scrambling. And this is now a real reality with this offense now that you have Drake May. Let me ask you this. Yeah. Devin McCourty yesterday tweeted out. He quote tweeted Florio, who said Drake May's getting the job. McCourty said, "Wish they would have made Houston figure this out on game day."
So just keep it under your hat up all the way till then.
I've heard a lot of this.
Robert's got tickets to sell, Devin.
But I don't even care about that. I just the idea that Houston, like now, oh, great, we don't have to game plan for Jacoby Brissett. That's so dumb to me.
Yeah.
And like Devin McCourty is a Pro Bowler and an all-time great Patriot and knows way more about it than me. And I don't think he doesn't know what he's talking about. I just think he's been brainwashed by Bill.
Yeah, I think he's thinking a little too hard about that.
Like, Drake May film the Texans have.
But seriously, he's
just loaded.
Do you think
when he played against Virginia, this is how you got him.
Do you think the Texans really care? They're like, we shut down Josh Allen last week. We don't really care who's starting on the other side. And like, this element of surprise is going to sneak up on Houston is so stupid. It's just dumb.
No. And just to piggyback off of that, did the Carolina Panthers, I know it's since gone back downhill, but when they benched Bryce Young and went to Andy Dalton, was that right before kickoff?
No,
it wasn't.
And they did it ahead of time.
How did Dalton do in that first game?
He was phenomenal.
So they had all week to plan for Andy Dalton, and he still torched them.
How?
Okay, I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't really know either.
Very, very, very
confusing.
That's
a little too much, like the gamesmanship aspect of it. I do think, you know, I don't know how many people care about this, but it is one of those, the national guys get it on a Tuesday, even though Mayo's going to talk Wednesday.
Okay.
Why doesn't he just do it?
Whatever. I only care in this regard. I think that came from ownership. And so that to me tells you that the whole team didn't know. Is that problematic? Does that speak to an issue with messaging? I know they're trying to clean that up and like, oh, no, he totally told the quarterbacks. Okay, he didn't tell the whole team. The whole team probably found out from Schefter and Rap Sheet and SportsCenter and whatever else yesterday.
My guess is the defense isn't staying up all that late for Houston, regardless of who the quarterback is.
My guess is when they found out, they went out and bought confetti guns like we did and fired them off everywhere. But I think there's a story there in how it came out, But the idea of saving it until Sunday to sneak up on Houston, foolish. And I don't really even blame Devin McCourty. I just think Bill Brainwell. I mostly blame Bill for that. Like, Bill couldn't make an announcement and all the gamesmanship. He did gamesmanship all year last year with Mac and Zappy. That didn't work at all.
No.
Not at all.
No.
So I just think that's foolish. Starting against Houston, not ideal. I'm happy it's here. Don't tell me that's the plan. Who do you think made the call? Was it Mayo? Does it go higher than Jerod Mayo to ownership? Or was it just time to get Jacoby Brissett out of there? We'll get to the announcement. We also have tons of thoughts on the Bruins that we'll get to later on, probably in the noontime hour. We're definitely going to get to Jerod Mayo, who speaks live shortly after 11 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to all of that right after Trending with Billy Laney.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of breaking news, we're joined on the line right now by our good friend Adam Schefter over at ESPN. Mr. Schefter, pretty big news here in the Patriots world today. I saw you tweeting about it, and you had an Instagram post yesterday hinting that there may be a change of quarterback. The announcement gets made today. How quickly did the gears move on this one?
Well, there's been no announcement yet, but the announcement will come tomorrow that Drake May's going to start, and that was the full sense of it yesterday. When you heard Jerod Mayo use the language he did, it was dramatically different than what he had said earlier in the season when they were 100% behind Jacoby Brissett. There was a change in tone. It wasn't exactly the same. And so with the change in tone, I think it was pretty obvious. And they're making the change to go to Drake May. Now, I think that the early season struggles contributed to this. And I think in a perfect world, they would have liked to have waited longer. And I think they were hoping that the team would play better, that Jacoby would be more productive, and they could have a longer time for Drake May on the bench. But the problem is the team hasn't played well. It feels like it's regressed. So you've got these other rookies, and by the way, I'm on a plane, so I apologize for the people talking in the background, but I'm boarding a plane to fly back, and so this has kind of been the day. We land, and as soon as we land, Robert Saleh gets fired in New York. We're on the way back to the airport, and Drake May obviously is given the word that he's going to be starting, and we're trying to make our way back to the East Coast here from Detroit, Michigan. But nevertheless, you have these other rookie quarterbacks who are starting and, for the most part, playing pretty well. Now, J.D. Daniels is in a different category because he's lighting it up right now. But Bo Nix has played pretty well, better as of late. Caleb Williams has played pretty well, better as of late. And I think that New England feels like it's time to get its rookie in there, give it a little bit of a spark, see if this team has a better chance to win football games with Drake May playing quarterback. But that's the thinking, I think, is that I think they would have liked to have had Drake May spend more time on the bench, but they feel like he's made enough progress and the time is right now.
Adam, you referenced it. The offense has been borderline unwatchable, unproductive. There was booing at Gillette Stadium on Sunday and a really, really ugly loss to the Dolphins. Was this strictly a football decision? May ownership have injected themselves here in terms of the way the team was trending and the fan base was feeling? Was Elliott Wolf involved? How do you think this decision came about? What levels were involved?
I think when you're talking about going to a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, it's an organizational decision. And I do think that in the end, it comes back to Jerod and Elliott making the decision and running the football organization, but them apprising all the people, letting them know what's coming. I don't think this is just going to surprise people, but I think that they've been pretty clear that those two guys would have the largest say, would ultimately make the calls. and they've made the call for Drake May to start moving forward now.
All right. Well, now that that's the case, and the reins have been turned over to Drake May, you do sort of wonder, and I think we're all kind of wondering now what the expectations of this team are going to be going forward. And I think that, you know, Adam, this is as you said, a team that really couldn't put one foot in front of the other when it came to the offense. Do you think that Drake May is going to be able to elevate this team?
Well, that's going to be the great question. Obviously, they're banking on that, and look. Peyton Manning started his rookie year and was not good. And there is a learning curve for everybody. And I think most people agree that Drake May wasn't as far along as some of these other quarterbacks anyway. So do I think he's going to come in and light the world up right away? That's not what I'm expecting. I'm going to be curious, like everybody else, to watch him to see what he does. But I think it's going to be, you're going to get some really exciting plays. You're going to see some great talent, and you're going to see some big-time rookie mistakes. You're going to see a whole plethora of things from a young guy who's going to take time to grow into the quarterback that they believe he's going to be one day. It's not going to be like he steps in there and I think shines from the outset. I mean, if he does, that would be surprising to me and a lot of other people around the league, but that's the interesting part of all this, right? You're going to this guy. You don't know what you're going to get. They believe they picked the right guy. They believe that he's got what you need, the right talent and all that. And we'll start to find that out here on Sunday.
With all of the talk that we've heard here in New England about a plan and there being a plan for Drake May and they're going along right by this plan, is it safe to assume that the plan wasn't to plop him in there against the third-rated defense in the NFL by DVOA here in this Houston Texans team?
Well, I think the plan was to have Jacoby play better for this team to win more and to sit him longer. I think that was the plan. But a lot of people have plans, and plans change. And they change when your team's struggling and not winning and not producing. And so that also was part of the plan as well, that they knew that this could be possible. They'd have to move up the timeline on Drake May and have to put him into the lineup sooner than they expected to. And that's exactly what's happened here. The plans changed. Yes, there was a plan. Yes, there were alternative plans. But the main plan didn't go exactly as they thought, and so now it's time to go to plan B. And Drake May is plan B.
Adam, do you have any indication of how this sort of transpired? Because today is obviously an off day, and we actually spoke with Jacoby Brissett around 5 o'clock yesterday, yeah, and he said he planned on starting on Sunday against Houston. So I got to imagine some members of the team might be finding out from you on social media that there's been a coaching quarterback change. Do you understand how this all came about today on an off day?
Well, yeah, I think the plan was probably for Gerard Mayo to announce it tomorrow to the team. I'm unsure whether the quarterbacks were told today. I don't know whether the quarterbacks were in there. I'm going to guess they were. They're quarterbacks. They work hard. They're usually around. I'm going to guess the quarterbacks were aware of the plans and the rest of the team was going to be told at a team meeting tomorrow morning. But what some people in the organization knew got out, and I'm sure there are certain members of the team that found out through social media or watching ESPN or whatever it may be, and that's kind of the world we're living in. You know, you can't always control the message, and I don't think this is some big surprise. I think, you know, I was getting text messages as recently as Monday morning to get ready for a quarterback change in New England. So I don't think this is a terrible shock or a surprise to anybody. You could hear Gerard talking, and that's kind of where we're at right now.
All right, before we let you go here, Adam, the Jets obviously fired Robert Saleh today. When is Bill Belichick going to take over in gangrene?
Well, he's done that before. It lasted all of about 3 or 4 minutes.
Right.
He's the shortest tenure coach in the history of the New York Jets before he turned in his resignation as the HC of the NYJ. You know, I think inevitably his name will come up for that job, but I honestly think they're going with Jeff Ulbrich right now, and interim coaches have provided sparks before. I think they're looking for him to do that now to see what he could bring. I do believe, and we've talked about this before, we're going to talk about it again. I know this. Bill Belichick's name is going to come up, and it's going to come up with most any place that has a head coach opening. So the first one to open this year is the New York Jets. Inevitably, his name already has come up in the public. I don't think that's how the Jets are thinking today, but where the Jets go at the end of the season, I think will be largely determined by the success that Jeff Ulbrich, as the interim head coach, the success he has or doesn't have. And if he's successful and wins over the team and they have a great run, then maybe he can be kept on. And if he doesn't, then he'll be looking for a job elsewhere. Maybe Bill Belichick's name would come up at that point in time. But Bill also, I think he's going to be pretty selective about where he does and doesn't go. And I don't know how willing he would or wouldn't be to go to the Jets. I don't know if that's an organization that when he is looking to get back in, that he's thinking, there's the spot I want to go to. A team that has struggled to win, a team that's been unstable, a team that I resigned from before, a team that doesn't have a quarterback. But do you think that that would be his number one option? I don't.
Does he still hate the Jets? I know there's a lot of fans in our audience that are like, Bill would never go to the Jets. He hates the Jets. Is that a toxic organization for him?
I mean, it's a strong word. Do I think he looks at them in a different way than other teams? Yes, I do.
Okay.
But does he hate them? No. And by the way, if they want to talk about their head coaching job, would he do that? I don't know. It's like, where's the team at? What are they thinking? What are they willing to offer? What's their vision for the future? Or it might just be, to your point, that he hates him enough and thinks it's toxic enough that he wouldn't even do that. I mean, I don't know what his mindset is there. I don't know that he's got this warm affection for them the way that he does the New York Giants, but that's a byproduct of his football life and all the experiences that he's had and all the people he's interacted with.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Adam Schefter, thank you so much. I know this was last second, and I appreciate you jumping on with us. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Big day, big news in New England, and happy to discuss it. Enjoy the game on Sunday. We'll talk next week.
Well, that is QB1 on being ready to go on Sunday. It is finally Drake May time. And we had Bill O'Brien on this morning, always an awesome interview on this show. And if you missed it, you can go back and listen to it whenever you want on the Odyssey app. You can do that with anything that you may have missed on this show at any time. But I was interested in the way he described what he would do when it comes to scheme game plan for Drake May on Sunday. And you agree?
Yeah, I like to shrink the playbook for him. Do things that he does well. Put him on the move. When you want to take a shot, I would go I know Shime's going to love this. Jump into the world of max protection play action. Maybe it becomes a one or two man route max where you have plenty of guys that can protect. And if that shot's not there based on the coverage, then maybe you just use your athletic ability and get out of there.
Or add in a nice wiggy classic tight end leak route. Yep. You're good to go.
The O-ish screen.
What do you think the balance ends up being Sunday between run plays and others?
I think I would probably say 55% run, 45% pass. You don't want to keep it simple for him, especially in the first game against a good defense that, Will Anderson Jr. can get after the quarterback.
But also that game script could easily change if you get down 7-0, 10-0 early.
And I like empty, too. I like empty for a young quarterback. Put him in empty, have short routes, make him get the ball out of his hand quickly, sprinkle a little bit of motion in there so it determines for him whether or not they're playing man or zone so he can have a good pre-snap read, and then he's able to get the ball out quickly. And if, they're in a zone and things happen, they happen to jump routes, when you're in empty, it's obviously a good time for a quarterback to get up out of there and use his athletic ability.
You and Bill O'Brien love to throw the game script out there, Shime.
Yeah, I mean, we're simpatico, Greg. Yes. We're on the same page.
I'm on Shime Island.
Yeah. I think, Shime, there's a real possibility that he would send you on the road to do some scouting.
I would be over the moon.
That is a segment for the show. We get Shime video of him on the road, scouting, taking notes. He becomes like the Michigan
guy. Got the stopwatch out.
He's a big bone Connor Stallion.
Yes, yes. Like,
lock me in.
There you go.
Send me to Louisville. I'll go scout.
But do you have faith that when you heard Bill O'Brien talk about all of those things mm-hmm. that you just talked about, do you have faith that Alex Van Pelt can and is going to do that?
Well, I think he can. I mean, it's not that difficult. Like, if you're an offensive coordinator, and the other thing that you would do is, like, if there was something he did good on scout team, maybe a specific play concept that you said, oh, he really did good, and like, because he talked about how other offenses were pretty cool. We all know it's a copycat league. Take some of those things and maybe incorporate it into your offense.
I'm also curious, too, because AVP said early in the season, it might have been right after week one, that he wasn't able to use his whole playbook. I'm curious if that's because a portion of his playbook was specifically designed for a quarterback that has a skill set like Drake May,
yep.
and you just can't use that with Jacoby Brissett, because over 4 weeks, we haven't seen the playbook evolve all that much.
Right.
So I'm kind of curious where that portion of the playbook he was referencing even is.
That's probably the RPO play portion of the playbook, the element of giving your running game an extra running back in the sense where your quarterback's a good athlete. Think about the touchdown that he scored in the preseason came off of an RPO where he made it seem like, all right, I could give it to the running back. He keeps it. Boom. Jaden Daniels scored a touchdown like that in the game last week, I believe, or a couple of weeks. When you have that type of quarterback, especially inside the 10-yard line, and you can run RPO with him, is a lot of things that you could do. So maybe that's the portion
of
the playbook.
And I'll ask those that are listening this as well. But what's a good showing by Drake May on Sunday? What meets your expectation? Shime, he was number one in your mocks.
Yeah.
From time to time.
No, throughout the entire time, not time to time, the entire
sometimes
time.
Sometimes you change your mocks after the draft happens.
You were a JJ McCarthy guy for a hot second.
Yeah, no, Drake May has always been and will always be my number one quarterback from that draft.
So what's a reasonable expectation of success for him on Sunday? Do they have to win the football game?
No, I don't think you have to win the football game. I think your offense has to be competitive, right? You have to be clearly taking a step up from what you've been the first 5 weeks of the season. You have to look at least more cohesive, at least more explosive than that. If you want like number parameters, I don't know, I would say 175 plus and at least a touchdown throw. Like, that to me
is... And he can't turn over the ball over and over again.
Yeah, you can't have like three interceptions, right? Like, if he throws a pick, that's fine. I'm not scared of him throwing interceptions. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes lead the league in interceptions over the last like 2 years, but they're the best quarterbacks in football because they throw so much.
Ian Jerry in the Twitch chat says one touchdown, one pick, 200 yards.
See, I don't even need, you just can't have the Zach Wilson three interceptions and like, where the hell is he throwing the ball? He just like, you can't have that.
And just on the Zach Wilson quickly, did you see the stat out there that through the first four games, Aaron Rodgers and Zach Wilson scored the same number of points?
Correct.
Right.
And had the same amount of interceptions, I think.
Yep, you're right.
I don't need to see like the yardage numbers I just want to see where you can go, and we've seen these games. We've seen them with Zach Wilson. We've seen them with Mac Jones, where you go, oh, he looks like he's got potential. Like, that's, I think, what I'll be looking for in this game, where it's like, this kid looks like he has some potential, and take that. I think that's going to be the biggest takeaway for me versus where if this you go out there and he just looks like a deer in headlights.
603 text from my beloved New Hampshire people. I can't wait for this offense to look worse with Drake May and to hear how Shime explains it away on Monday morning. Well, he will have that opportunity to do that on a paper.
Yeah, I won't explain anything away.
It
I don't
can't
need
look
to.
Worse.
It physically cannot look worse.
It
You're the only quarterback in all of football that is worse than Jacoby Brissett is Deshaun Watson. That's it. It's the only one. Like, the only way Drake May looks awful is if he's out there doing Will Levis things, like throwing the ball, like just handing the ball to the other team, yeah, which isn't going to happen.
Like, he's getting ready to like get sacked.
You don't want the falling over in the end zone, the avoiding the safety by throwing a pick six. You don't want that.
No, I don't want that. I don't want the surrender cobra after he just threw a pick and the guy's taking it to the house. Like, and it's crazy to me that people just like assume you make one mistake and you're just immediately a bad quarterback. Like, did anybody see Jordan Love this weekend make a Carson Wentz decision to trying to throw it away and he throws it to the corner and it's a pick six? Like, quarterbacks make mistakes sometimes. It's just, do you learn from them and do you continue to make them is the question.
It's a lot of fun to not be the guy that's oddly obsessed and in love with the Patriots quarterback. Like, it's amazing seeing Shime and how energized this has made him.
Curtis, I feel like an entirely new human being. Like, going through the Mac Jones era post Tom Brady and getting here has been like an insane roller coaster.
I do worry about Van Pelt just being a total pud.
Well, that's the problem.
I get that.
I mean, I don't know that he's the guy.
Right. I mean, I wish we could send Van Pelt to the Pepper Palace, get some exotic flavors in the offense.
But, like, even if Van Pelt's not the guy, you're still going to see moments where Drake May is awesome. Like, he can be so good that he can overcome the play calling to a point. Like, it's never going to be to the point where he's going to take you to a Super Bowl. Like, but he's going to be able to overcome bad play calling at times.
Look for the moments. I think that's a good word that Shime uses. Look for the moments in the Drake May performance that you can walk away and go, okay, he does have that potential to be really good. And then if Alex Van Pelt isn't the guy, now you just got to hope the next guy that they get is the one, because you don't want him to have like a Baker Mayfield situation where it's like three different offensive coordinators in his first 3 years as a quarterback.
All right, well, Drake May gets his first NFL start on Sunday, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
You ready today, Keem?
I'm ready today. I'm ready every day, Jones.
That was a foolish question in retrospect.
Yeah, please.
Born ready, as they say. There's still confetti in here from yesterday. Is there any on that
side? It was
a big
day. It was a big. I got most of it with the shop vac, but like we're in good shape here. We cleaned up after ourselves.
I think we did a good job, but I no joke. There's still. I walked in and there was like I was probably like stuck in the wheels
everywhere.
Of the chair or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. There's still confetti.
Like glitter at a strip club.
can't get it off.
Never really
exactly,
get rid of it.
Exactly what it is.
Nice keepsake.
So it's a good reminder though of Drake May making his debut. On Sunday against the Houston Texans, it's official. It's happening.
Yes.
Alex Van Pelt is going to talk to the media today.
Woo!
A little after 11. No, not to us. No, we got to wait a few weeks for that. And
it will be
assuming he wants to answer any of our questions.
He won't, but it'll be interesting to see what he says, because I don't think anybody has been as steadfast in the support of Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, no, he loves Jacoby Brissett. Apparently hates Drake May.
Yeah.
And so that
should be a good working relationship going forward.
That's an odd question.
Yeah, it wasn't in retrospect.
No.
But, he's talking shortly after 11.
All right.
So we'll see what he has to say.
I like his scheme. There's been moments when he's shown to be a good play caller.
That's his guy.
Moment, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, for being charitable.
Nice play call.
Dan Orlovsky. So Van Pelt talks later today. He says anything interesting, we'll be sure to pass it along. In the meantime, your thoughts on Drake May and what you expect in his debut. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. We'll open up the lines for you. You can text us at 37937. Follow along on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You're going to want to tune in for that. You never know what's going to happen there. You can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We touched on this yesterday, Keefe. Your expectations for Drake May, kind of in like a points prism, you know, how many points do we expect the Patriots to score? How do we expect the offense to look? What are your expectations, and what bar are you setting for Drake May in his debut against what we think is a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, good team.
And
good defense.
What we know is a really good defense.
I would say 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. No, I would say for Drake May, it is being a competent offense, something that we haven't seen the last 3 weeks, and like fewer three and outs, right? They're the three and out kings. If you need a three and out punt, the Patriots are your squad.
They got you covered. Because
you know what you can't say? You can't say turn it over less than Brissett. That's one thing Brissett didn't really do. He threw the pick six against the Niners, but for the most part, he didn't take chances. Therefore, he didn't turn it over, but he also didn't make plays.
So I'll sacrifice an I guarantee you he throws an interception. I don't know what the odds are.
Oh, over, under, have a pick.
He's throwing a pick.
Okay.
Right? He got away with one when he came in the Jets game. Hopefully he throws it a little bit more. I bet he throws a pick. But I also think he throws a touchdown. Like, I think they're going to move the ball a little bit, even if it's 50-50 run pass, or maybe it's even a little bit more heavy on the run. But the bar is so low overall, the 5 weeks that we've seen this offense perform, that if they score two offensive touchdowns, it's going to look like a tsunami of points. It's You're going to be like, oh, my God, what is this team?
Like the Chiefs when Mahomes first got in there is how it's going to feel. Yeah.
And also, again, I think you have to be prepared for mistakes and maybe a couple like head-scratching plays, but it can't be too many of them. It can't be throwing the ball across your body or trying to avoid a sack and rather than just taking a sack, trying to make a play and throwing it right to a linebacker. Like, it's going to be you can't have that stuff, even though it is your debut. But I think the bar is low enough where if he scores a couple of touchdowns, or he and the offense score a couple of touchdowns, you're going to look like, all right, that's a great place to start for this team.
Yeah, we said yesterday, 17 points, couple of offensive touchdowns. You know, you're putting together some drives where you're not going three and out. You're looking functional. You don't want those head-scratching plays. I mean, I agree with that. Further along, I'd like to see some throws down the field. I mean, this offense just has no throws down the field.
Yeah, that'd be good.
You know, and I don't even mean 50-yard bombs. I'm talking that 15 to 20-yard range where you didn't really see that consistently with Brissett. You would see short throws. You would see easy throws. Maybe they'd mix in the deep shot to Polk against the Niners. But that's really more what I'm talking about, like that deep to intermediate range that I don't feel like they're testing right now. I think that's an area of the playbook that you can open up. And, yeah, there's a risk for some turnovers. He probably does turn it over this weekend. You don't want a 3-4 pick game. You're Will Levis.
Yeah, no, right.
You know, I heard the Greg Hill show talking about this morning. You're Zach Wilson in some of those starts. Like, you don't want that.
The Nathan Peterman.
Yeah,
definitely not that. But from Peterman to Mahomes, there's a big gap there in the middle of how you can play.
But I am willing to take that risk of, like, let's launch it down the field a little bit. It doesn't have to be 50-plus yard throws, but that 15 to 20-yard range, they are not testing. And you need to do that in today's NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to see him run. And I think that's an element of the playbook that should be opened up. I would hope that Alex Van Pelt leans on that a little bit this week. You asked me yesterday, do I expect design runs? I do.
Yeah.
You know, third and shorts, red zone. Like, I don't expect to just do it on first and 10, but if you need to go pick up some yards, I think he's a catalyst to be able to do that, or at least give the defenses some different looks so they're not loading up on Ramondre Stevenson
right,
and expecting you to just run it right up the gut. I'd expect to see some of that, and I want to see some of that. I think that's his skill set. I think that's what he can bring to this offense. It's part of why I liked him so much coming into the NFL. And so those are the things I want to see. He has a big arm. He's athletic. So throw it down the field and have him run a little bit. These are right, his strengths. These are what he can do. There is no reason in my mind to limit that. None.
Right. No, I know. And I think, you know, as much as it's, well, he's going up against such a good defense, like, why are you throwing him to the wolves like that? I don't know, sometimes that could be good. Sometimes you go in there and anything you do, I feel like you almost grade it on a curve. Like, if he's able to have some success against a really good defense, isn't that a great sign? So when you play teams like the Jaguars and the Titans and even the Jets later on in the season, you're like, well, look what he was able to do against the Texans. Like, it can kind of work both ways. It's pretty split right now. And the people that didn't want to see him feel like, oh, it's going to be a disaster. His footwork is going to be a mess, and he's just going to get pounded. Well, if he has a little bit of success, like, what kind of confidence that's going to be for him, for the whole offense? Be like, hey, we didn't just wake up a little bit because Drake May's here. We also did it against one of the best teams in the league. Like, that can actually be a good thing.
If it's a disaster, so what?
Yeah, well, that's what I say.
I mean, obviously, I think people are worried about, does it ruin him? Does it break him? Will he never be the same guy? To me, that's wildly overdramatic. But I guess that would be the fear. I would just tell you it's been a disaster. Like, the team has been a disaster. It's hard to be worse than that.
They have two touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, and they both came off of turnovers where it was a short field.
They're averaging the last 3 weeks, I think, like 8 points a game. So
what the hell?
It has been a disaster. Right. Now, May hasn't been involved in that disaster, and I get you're worried about breaking the future of the organization. But at some point, you're going to have to do that.
But also, another example people keep bringing up is how this Texans team is like a great pass rush and all this stuff, and how Caleb Williams got ragdolled, right? 7 sacks. They beat up the Bears in week 2. Did that break Caleb Williams,
no.
Or did he get a lot better 2 weeks later and have his best game of his career week 5?
He lit it up last week.
So you can have bad games, you can have bad moments, you can lose big games, and you can still learn from it and be better after. So you and I both think Drake May should have started all season. He certainly should have started against Miami. Well, that ship has sailed. That didn't happen. You can at least get him in there now, and there can be benefits to it. Even if you're going up against a good team, so be it.
So what are your expectations week 1 in this start this weekend against Houston? I'm already seeing it in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, which I
like that.
I mean, look, if he does that, we're going to feel pretty good about it, I think. You always got to see it. Who knows? Maybe they're way down in the game. He throws an early pick, and he gets some garbage time, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. Maybe I'd feel differently.
But all right, well, how about this?
In a vacuum, if that's the stat line, I think we'd all feel really good about that.
Well, yeah, Jacoby Brissett has 2 passing touchdowns in 5 games. So if he matches that total in 1 game, I mean, that is...
Duck boats.
And he hasn't thrown for 200 yards yet.
No, in fact, he's averaging 139.
Yeah, that sounds high.
Honestly, if Drake May throws 150,
yeah,
it's a step forward. It's a step clearly in the right direction. I would look at it more like 175.
I think that was the number I heard Shime say today. Shime said 175.
And then run for over 25?
Yeah, something like that.
200 yards of offense?
That's good. You know, I also see this. 3793.
The top one? Oh, no, I like that one.
No. My expectations for Drake May are low, just watchable.
Product.
I think it's going to be watchable.
Yeah, me too.
And I think people are excited for the game this weekend. You should be. You know, if you watched the show yesterday, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Here's an interesting one, too. Hunter Henry's going to have 9 catches and a touchdown. Like,
I just dropped him in fantasy.
I think that's a fine move.
Yeah.
My answer would not be Hunter Henry. But who benefits from May getting in there?
Like, Jalen Polk.
You think that's the one?
I think it's definitely Jalen Polk.
In week one, like, I think over the balance of the season, I totally agree with that. You think week one, it's Jalen Polk?
I think it's Polk. Yeah, I do. He had a couple of... chances with Jacoby Brissett that he was out of bounds with. Maybe they take a few more chances, and maybe Drake May puts the ball in a better spot, and he doesn't have to toe tab. He doesn't have to do all that other stuff. So I think Jalen Polk.
You put that on Brissett?
I don't think it was a great throw by Brissett.
Couldn't Polk come down
in
bounds?
My guy's got to get his little tootsies in there. He's got to get his tootsies
in there. There's plenty I blame Brissett for, like throwing it out of bounds on the bomb to Polk, where I still thought Polk was in bounds on that one against the Niners.
They were great throws, though.
Okay, they weren't. Yeah. It wasn't a great throw, Polk, get your foot in bounds, Polk.
But maybe they take more chances with Drake May is my point. He has more opportunities to do it. People that have been at practice might have a better sense on which players Drake May is more comfortable with. Like, we don't know if he's like constantly feeding Pop Douglas. Maybe the texture's right. Maybe it is Hunter Henry. Sometimes young quarterbacks, I feel like, do rely on the tight end in certain, you know, just a safer throw, that kind of thing. But no, maybe it's more hope than anything else. But I think if Jalen Polk and Drake May can get some sort of connection going, that'd be the best thing.
Well, so that was what I was just going to say. I think you feel best about it.
Yeah.
If it's Jalen Polk, I'd feel really good if it's Demario Douglas. And I have a feeling that's who it's going to be.
Pop on the tape, Douglas.
I should look at his drive again against the Jets. I feel like I remember that's who he was really peppering at the end of that Jets game. And I don't know how much he was on the field with Demario Douglas or even Hunter Henry and guys like that in the preseason.
I feel like
he was out there a lot with Jalen Polk in the preseason. I think when he got in there at the end of that Jets game, if memory serves, Demario Douglas, I know, had one big play on a fourth down, I think. That feels like the guy who's going to get going early. I'm with you, Keith. Long term, I think Jalen Polk, like on balance, weeks 6 through 17 or 18, whatever, I think that's the guy who's going to stand to benefit the most and grow the most with Drake May, and you hope there's a connection there. Right away, I think drive starters to Demario Douglas, short, easy throws to Demario Douglas, that's probably who's going to benefit the most. But I hope they're taking shots down the field, and Polk may be that guy. You know, maybe seeing more of Kayshon Boutte, or hell, with Kendrick Bourne back, maybe seeing more in that intermediate to even deep area of the field, you see some shots there. But consistently, I bet Demario Douglas benefits from that.
Yeah, Kayshon Boutte played a lot last week, so hopefully that kind of goes up a little bit more. Just because the potential is so much greater for a player like him than Tyquan Thornton or KJ Osborne or guys like that. So if you have Polk, Pop, Boutte, and maybe Kendrick Bourne's a little bit healthier, to your point, like those are 4 guys, plus the 2 running backs. So I think you can throw to both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then Henry and Hooper. Like, you know, mix those guys. I don't think they're going to be as big a part of the offense. I do think... Through 5 weeks, Hunter Henry leads the team in targets. I don't know if that's ideal. Like, I don't know if that's what you really want. Like, maybe more red zone stuff. Remember,
his, I don't think, even if you have, like, Travis Kelce, maybe a bad example.
Kelsey's the only guy.
Who's the best tight end in football right now?
That's a good question.
Trey McBride? Like, who's the best? Like, I don't think a tight end should be leading your team in targets. Brock Bowers?
Maybe. Who's LaPorta? The best?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no. Like, I don't think a tight end.
Kittle?
I don't think, maybe. So, good example. Fine, let's stick with San Francisco. Patriots fans just watched it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be your leader. Even if he's the best tight end in football, he shouldn't be your leader in targets. No. It should be Debo and Ayuk in a functional
yeah,
offense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully that changes. And so, you know, I think Hunter Henry is best suited. Red zone. His first year with the Patriots was Mac Jones' rookie year. The last time this team had any kind of like semblance of a successful offense, he had a bunch of touchdowns, and it was all like red zone touchdowns. So that's really where he should be used rather than in the middle of the field.
Good question in the Twitch chat for you, Keith. I don't know specifically to you, but I think I can answer it as well. It was Slim Jim, I think it was. Scroll by quickly.
Okay.
Where do we think Drake May is going to get all this time to throw?
Well, the thing is, you know, Brissett has a little bit more time than people believe. You know, Brissett has the same amount of time to throw as Jaden Daniels and what, almost as much time as Patrick Mahomes?
Yep.
Or more. Whatever it was close.
Let me give you the number. Phil Perry had some good numbers, but I'll pull them up. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah, I think it's more Jacoby Brissett holding on to the ball. And don't get me wrong, there are plenty of times where he was sacked because of the offensive line and he didn't have time. He's been sacked plenty of times where you can kind of go through them all, right? But Brissett's been sacked 17 times this year. I don't think it's fair. Like, if you rewatch them all, are they all on the offensive line? No. And my hope is that Drake May makes his decisions a little bit quicker, gets the ball out quicker, and therefore the passing yards will go up because you have a guy that's pulling the trigger quicker.
So Phil Perry wrote, and we talked about this on Monday, but I'll bring him back up. The Patriots are pressured on 18 of 37 dropbacks against the Dolphins. That's 49%, which sounds like a high rate.
Yeah.
On the 18 pressured dropbacks, the average time to throw was 2.96 seconds, almost 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Phil says
it's an eternity.
That's not an unmanageable number. For reference, the Chiefs have the second longest snap to pressure rate in football at 2.99 seconds.
So it's the same.
They have the second longest time to throw, and you're right there. So the point is Brissett's holding on to the ball. While there were 6 dropbacks that were generated in under 2 seconds, that's probably on the offensive line.
Right.
There were also 5 that came with 3.5 seconds or more. If your quarterback's holding on to it for 3.5 seconds, like Brissett was,
you're going to take a lot of sacks.
That's not on the offensive line. And so this idea that he just doesn't have any time to throw, that really wasn't the case against the Dolphins. Let me give you one more thing that Reese wrote about the other day and Terp reminded me of this morning. Drake May is used to dealing with pressure.
All right.
He's used to dealing with that, and he has been dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
When he was at the University of North Carolina, he faced 409 pressures in his 2 years as a starter. That's the most of any FBS school.
Yikes.
So he's used to dealing with pressure. Now he's used to dealing with it in the NCAA, not in the NFL. But it's different, but this is a guy who dealt with more pressure than anyone else the 2 years he was in college.
Yeah, because the knock-on was that Bo Nix is one of those guys, right, that had, like, no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would just get it, throw it, and had, like, clean pockets for days. So, yeah, he is used to dealing with a little bit more crap than some of the other quarterbacks. And I just think you have to be ready to accept some of the growing pains. Like, he's going to have bad moments, right? And he's going to have bad games, like, between now and the end of the season. But is there enough that it's pointing in the right direction? Like, are you going to be 2025 feeling better about it? But, hey, Drake May had 12 starts under his belt, and at least the arrow is pointing up. I think that's reasonable. I think that's my expectation. I think that's what's going to happen.
So Alex Van Pelt is at the heart of all of this. And again, he's going to talk at 11.
I feel worse about it now.
I saw Giardi tweet today. Giardi says, and he was on WEEI Afternoons yesterday with Andy Hart and Christian Arkin. You can go back and check that out on the Odyssey app.
Not right now.
No, well, not in the middle of our program. Just eventually.
Okay.
He says some internally believe the team would be 3-2 if they had gotten better quarterback play.
Oh, sorry. Whew.
Though those same folks are glossing over the coaching issues and defensive regression is what Giardi says. So I don't think Van Pelt is one of those guys who thinks they'd be 3-2.
No.
My guess is that's Mayo, and that's part of the reason we're seeing
Mayo,
the quarterback
Covington,
switch.
Covington, Springer, Kraft, Wolf.
Not Van
everybody
Pelt.
But Van Pelt.
Well, not Wolf either.
No,
I don't
maybe
think.
Not. No.
Not Van Pelt. So what do we think Van Pelt does this week? Do we think Van Pelt, in his arsenal, in his playbook, do we think he has the capacity to, you know, give Drake May the kind of plays we want to see, the short and intermediate throws, the plays where he's on the run, rolling out and throwing, the plays where he's just designed runs for Drake May? Do we think Van Pelt has the capability to do that? He has the capacity in his playbook to do that. Do we think I mean, how do we feel about him in this transition?
I like his scheme. There's been moments when he's shown to be a good play caller.
Because to answer my own question, I don't, Dan Orlovsky.
Neither do I. This is the thing that scares me the most about the Drake May development. And this is also true from, 3 months ago or whenever he was hired? 12th guy interviewed, given the job because nobody wanted it, essentially. Has been in the league a really, really long time. Has been a play caller once, and it was in 2009 with Dick Geron and the Buffalo Bills. So he's been in the league since 09, even prior to 09. And he's been either a QB coach or a coordinator without play calling duties. When we talked to him a couple of weeks ago and we were asking him about splitting reps with young guys and preparing a quarterback to play and how unique that situation is, he's like, yeah, I've never dealt with it. So it doesn't exactly sound like the guy that is the best suited to mold a rookie quarterback and get the most out of him. I know people scoffed at it at the time, but I loved when Washington hired Cliff Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I don't want Kingsbury to be my head coach, but that's not the job. That's offensive coordinator. He's worked with all these great quarterbacks his whole life.
And you're not saying this after 5 weeks.
No,
you were saying
wanted it at the time.
Yeah, you were saying this when it happened, and as for our show, you've been saying it since week one.
And Jaden Daniels looks good, and I think Cliff Kingsbury deserves some credit for that. And so, yeah, turning it over to Alex Van Pelt and Drake May, that scares me. Because I think Drake May individually is a very talented guy, but he's going to need all the help he can get. And when you look at perfect situations, so many people point to O-line, 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 or receivers, receivers, receivers. Play caller, pretty significant to me. Who's calling the plays? When Jared Goff played for Jeff Fisher and whoever their OC was, he looked like a bust. Sean McVay comes in, they make the Super Bowl. Like, that's a pretty staggering. Tua Tagovailoa looked like a starter, not starter, I don't know. Mike McDaniel shows up, a guy looks like an MVP. So the play caller can be the most important thing, even more important than the O-line for some of these young quarterbacks.
No, I think that's fair, but I also do think, if he's truly an elite quarterback, could he reach his potential with a better play caller? Yeah, but he should still be able to make Alex Van Pelt look pretty good. If he's truly elite, maybe not this week, but eventually.
Drake May going out there against the Houston Texans, who last we saw them, they were body-slamming Josh Allen into the turf, through the turf almost. He was getting a Hulk slammed out there by those guys. That's a tough defense in Houston, and a tough defense to have your baptism by fire, but that's how it's going to go. And for more on that, joining us on the line right now from Boston Sports Journal, you've seen him all over the place, Mr. Mike Giardi joins the program. Mike, how are you?
Christian, what have you done with Andy?
What?
He's like Mr. Positivity now. I don't know what the hell's going on, and it's quite frankly, it's a little bit, it's making me a little uncomfortable.
Wait a minute. We've been yelling at each other for a month and a half, so I don't know. It's
Wait a minute. So you're not one of those negative people right now, because this is the five-day run-up or whatever the hell it is that should be nothing but positivity in Boston sports and Patriot Nation. You have a number 3 overall pick quarterback who's the future of the franchise, who we all wanted to see, and we're going to get to see him on Sunday going against another young, great quarterback who said this guy is the most pro-ready in the class. So you tell me, sir, why should I have any hesitancy to be anything but positive?
You, sir, have had too much cold medicine.
That is true.
What you are completely ignoring is the fact of how badly they butchered this entire thing, this quote-unquote plan, and decided to stick him in, not against the Miami Dolphins, who are absolutely an inept football team, who you out-inepted, if you will, to lose the game on Sunday, or wait until London to play a Jacksonville team that is praying to God that their head coach gets fired. Instead, you decide to stick him up against the best pass rush in the National Football League and the best passing defense in the National Football League, which makes absolutely zero sense. And you know why it makes no sense? Because it wasn't the plan. They rushed this. They panicked. And I get it. They suck. I understand wanting to change gears here and that he can give you some life. But don't tell me that they handled this properly. So if I'm negative for pointing out that the Patriots don't know what the hell they're doing, then so be it. I'll be negative guy.
Fair enough. Mike, what was the plan then? I mean, if this wasn't the plan, what was it? It clearly wasn't to start him against Miami. It wasn't to start him in any of the first month's worth of games. What do you think, if everything was going the way they wanted it to, what would the plan with May have been?
Sometime in November. I think they wanted to let him just sit over there and continue to mature. We're talking about 19 days ago. And I did the math, and I think my math is correct. 19 days ago, the day after he mopped up against the Jets, Alex Van Pelt told us two very important things. One, what's the best thing for Drake May right now? He said, what? To continue to watch from the sidelines. Not play, watch from the sidelines. And he also said of that debut, which people seem to kind of forget, there was a lot of plays there, and then they didn't call timeouts at the end for whatever reason, probably because they just wanted to get out of there. Mm. He regressed in certain ways with the footwork, which has been the biggest thing about him that we talked about before they even drafted him. And so when the bullets started to fly for real, he started to regress and do the things that they were trying to coach out of him. So you're telling me now in 19 days that because of virtual reality and 70-30 with the ones and scout teamwork and all those things, that in 19 days that stuff disappeared? No, it didn't. They're 1-4. People were leaving the building during the fourth quarter of a one-score game. There were probably 50,000 people in the stands. I'm sure it was a sellout. I'm sure everybody bought their tickets. But in terms of how many people actually went, and nobody wants to watch that again. So there's a whole combination of things that they threw in the pot, and they just said, you know what? Let's just do it. Screw it. We're going to do it in 3 weeks. We might as well do it now. And look, I'm as excited as the next guy to watch this kid develop and hopefully become the franchise quarterback, because I think he is insanely talented. But to think that this was the plan is just – it's not. It just wasn't the plan. And they're going to leak stories. They're already doing it. And they're going to talk, oh, no, he's really been like – no, just stop. I don't blame people for writing that when someone tells you important, tells you that. But, like, also when you read it with a grain of salt. They're trying to cover their ass right now.
So you keep saying they. Who's they? Because I think you touched on a couple things there. Ownership could have interest in terms of fans and leaving 100%. Seats, booing. Okay. You could have, I have a little conspiracy theory here. This was the first week where I heard questions saying, hey, should you change play callers? Should you give Ben McAdoo a chance? I think there's a chance that Alex Van Pelt could change his tune in 19 days because he's like, wait a minute, they're calling for my job. You know how I distract them from that? Put the rookie out there and give me a few more weeks of a different guy. Jerod Mayo claims it was all his decision. A lot of people assumed from day one he might have wanted to play the rookie quarterback. So this they you keep throwing out there, who is they and why did they decide right now and how did they kind of make that happen?
It's all of them, Andy. It's,
now they is them. Well, pronouns get you in trouble in this day and age. Can we be careful here? I just got in this seat. I don't want to get kicked out.
I'm not trying to get you fired. Not yet, at least, Andy. No, look, I think Alex Van Pelt and Elliot Wolf have been, I think, in lockstep in their idea of how to develop Drake May. I think that's, people have talked about it. I think it's been reported on a little bit, you know, the Packer way, like they wanted to, for lack of a better term, let Drake bake over here on the side, right? Like just keep cooking it until it's, you know, eventually we're going to go there. We're going to play him. I don't think there was any question that he was going to play at some point this year. You know, this wasn't going to be a full sit the entire season thing, but like, let's just keep him over there. Let's do it as long as we can. And Jacoby knows what he is. He's a human shield, but he's competent and he should be able to create stuff for us. And then your offensive line was dreadful. Your receivers remain a bottom third in the league group, maybe even lower than that. And after probably started in the second half of the Jets game, Jacoby's play has dropped off dramatically. And there's no question, I think we had the number on Boston Sports Journal, he's been hit or sacked 52 times in 5 games. That is unsustainable for anyone. And even someone as tough as this kid, and there's no question that Jacoby Brissett is as tough as can be, like, he stopped seeing the field. And not that he was ever awesome at it anyway, but now all of a sudden, like, it's just like, I'm going to die. Here, throw the ball to the side. I'm going to, you know, like, it just, the marked decrease in his play the last 2 weeks, I think probably led them to come to this decision on Monday and be like, look, we suck. Nobody wants to watch our product. We got a bunch of players already frustrated. Guys are laying it on the line, and, you know, we're keeping this guy over here. And it's like, at this point, what do we have to lose? Because we look terrible. And what they have to lose is the possibility that this kid goes in there and throws up on his shoes, in part because of what's around him. And then, you know, you go into the offseason thinking like, all right, well, do we have the guy or do we not have the guy? Do we need to rebuild his confidence? You know, like, what is it? So did he regress so much now that we're looking at the same kid that we saw coming out of North Carolina last year? Like, those are the things that I feel like haven't been given enough weight in this entire conversation.
Well, if May comes in and he's good, though, Mike, then isn't that going to sort of throw the idea that keeping him on the bench for 5 weeks was a bad idea, that waiting until November, if that's optimally what they wanted to do, wouldn't that sort of call into question their decision-making and evaluation abilities?
But why would that be worse? If he's going to come in and be good in week five or six or whatever this is, week six, and then you're going to, but the plan initially was to keep him out until November, so then wouldn't he be good in November?
Right, but now so the season, now you're 1-4 to start the year. If you'd started him to begin the year and he's good, then maybe this season isn't where it is right now.
Do you really think this is a playoff team?
I think that they could be 2-3 right now. I think that for sure. They had two winnable games.
I think that, well, here's the other thing, and I just wrote this today. There are people in that building. This is what I was going to say. There are people in that building, and I wrote about it today, who feel like they should be 3-2. Now, those are the same people, and these are important people, not like the lunch lady. But these are not that she's
Martha
not important
at the gate. Is that a shot at Martha?
Yeah, not that, look, not well. I have my own issues
okay,
there, but
keep going.
Anyway, yeah, 3-2. But those are the same people that are whistling past the idea. Like they just want you to ignore the fact that the coaching has been dreadful this year. The defense is worse than it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Even, and you can tell me, hey, no Barmore, now no Bentley. You traded Judon. Hey, last year you had no Judon and Gonzalez, and they were ninth in DVOA. And like, I don't love some of the nerd numbers, but like, if you're going to use a nerd number, DVOA has probably been the best indicator of success or failure in the league in terms of the nerd numbers. And they were ninth last year. This year they're in they're 27th, 28th. And that's coming off a team that played Tyler Snoop Huntley, who probably doesn't have as good an arm as Jackson Hart does at Dartmouth High School. So, you know, like, so what are we doing? Like, that's not good. The offense isn't good. I heard your thing with Orlovsky. Like, I don't know what he's smoking. Like, the scheme has not been good. The offense hasn't looked good pretty much at any point since week one, and even that was, you know, as Gerard said, unsustainable, which I would argue that's had been your only way to sustain and have some success the first 5 weeks, and they got away from it, and it may have cost them a game. But like, so they think they should be 3-2, but they don't want to tell you one of the reasons that they're not 3-2 is because their coaching hasn't been good. Because then we change the equation. Well, our roster's not that good, but wait, shouldn't you have coached these guys up better? Shouldn't this look different? It's not a good roster, but it hasn't been a good coaching staff so far. And look, it's early for a lot of these guys. You know, this is Alex's first time doing this in 15 years, and this is Gerard's first time being a head coach after only being an assistant for 5 years, and it's DeMarcus's first run as a DC. But, like, right now, they're all, like, D-minus Fs. You know, it hasn't been good. Now, they can change that. They can change it starting this week, and they better hope that Drake helps them do that. But there's a lot of flaws to their thinking so far.
So this is not an ideal situation. We've already touched on that. That would have been probably better off last week. But it is what it is. He's playing. I liked what I saw from him at the podium today, which is a minor little stupid thing to read. But I think he's got some confidence and some swagger to him. The offensive line may be marginally better. I say that with a pause. Mm-hmm. We'll find out on Sunday. What do you think is... I'm going to use a phrase, hopefully realistic. Nothing crazy, but if you were being sort of optimistic based on people you've talked to behind the scenes, okay, sounds like you're not believing all the talk of how good he's looked on the practice field. What do you think a hopefully optimistic projection for Sunday would be?
You talking like a statistical projection?
No, just like, do you think he's going to look overwhelmed? Do you think he can make the offensive line look a little bit better by, I don't know, making quicker reads, making quicker decisions, getting out of town, running a little bit, throwing on the run? Does he open up Pop Douglas? Does he make some plays with his natural athletic ability? What is, like, are those things?
Yeah, I think he will make some plays with his natural athleticism that will help them be a little bit more explosive. Well, which is to say they haven't been explosive at all, which will give them maybe the opportunity to hit some explosive plays that aren't handoffs to running backs or a tight end screen to Hunter Henry, which I think is one of your longest pass plays or second longest pass play of the year.
Yep.
So, yeah, you should get that. But, you know, talking to people yesterday when the decision came down and sort of talking across the league, it's like, you know, one person said it's a little scary when you put in the tape of how he looked against the Jets. And again, like, that's something like nerves and whatever. But, like, even the fact that his fundamentals regressed a little bit there, the footwork regressed. But his point was, like, he's going to make some plays for you. He's also going to make some plays for them.
Sure.
And I guess we're at the point now where your quarterback wasn't making any plays for you. And not that he turned the ball over a ton or anything, but, like, just wasn't making any plays. So you should at least have someone in there that has some playmaking genes in him. And so I don't know, like, statistically what it's going to look like. But I would imagine he's going to give you a little bit of juice there. I would also hope and here's to coaching. If I'm Alex Van Pelt, I'm embracing what you saw against Philadelphia and to a certain degree against Washington in the preseason. I know those are against threes, twos and threes. Some of the guys, you know, they're working at Lowe's right now or Starbucks. They're not in the league. But what'd they do? They went back to the North Carolina stuff, right?
Yep.
How do we make this guy feel comfortable and confident? Well, let's go from shotgun and let's spread it out and let's let him just kind of use that ability. And like, that's easier to read, right? You spread them out sort of like, hey, you know what the coverage is going to be. You know how they're going to attack you. Whereas if you're trying to be under center, D'Amico Ryan's and they're going to have some plan for you, it'll make it a little bit more difficult. So I would love to see them spread it out and just let them, you know, just let them run around and launch it a little bit.
We're talking with
they need some juice.
We're talking with Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. You can find him on Twitter at Mike Giardi. Mike, before we let you go here, what one player on this roster, other than Drake May, obviously, is going to benefit the most from this quarterback switch?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, it should be Pop because he's just your best receiver. He's the guy that gets open. But, you know, we've seen some moments, even with Jacoby, where, including last week, where he was able to utilize that. I just have been so underwhelmed by the guys on the outside. Like, I'm a Jalen Polk sort of believer, but he's a really good player. Like the pick. He doesn't separate. Never mind the on-field behavior, which has been kind of nuts for a guy.
Pop's doing that, too. I mean, but yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's like, but at least Pop has at least some sort of a resume. It's a small one, but it's a lot longer than Polk's. So, like, I don't know. Like, they need
resume,
more there. Booty, yeah, Booty, yes, exactly. Booty played a lot the other day. He's clearly usurped Tyquan Thornton, but he's not, like, an explosive guy either. So I just think they're so limited on the outside that, man, I'm force-feeding the hell out of the ball to Pop.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Mike Giardi, great to talk with you. Thanks for jumping on here. It's the first time here on WEEI Afternoon Show with Host 1 and Host 2, so we appreciate you taking the time today. Thanks.
Host 1, Host 2 with Sing 1 over here. All
there
right.
You go. Very good.
Welcome Giardi, to the family.
Boston Sports Journal joining us here on the program with some good stuff on the QB switch from Jacoby Brissett over to Drake May.
Andy, the negative one, huh?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
I know. I mean, he's got him completely
he's fired up,
there,
though.
Sure.
Like, he
dead to rights.
That was good.
Yeah, it was good stuff. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We have the latest on the Jabril Peppers situation. He has been put on the commissioner's exempt list. Gerard Mayo talked about it today, and we'll get to it next.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.